And last week we got down to verse 21, but we're going back up to verse 20 to kind of maintain the thought here. 2 Chronicles 29, starting with verse 20, "Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord." Now, I'm not going to go into this too much. Matter of fact, not going to go into verse 20 at all. I kind of felt bad about that because I'm the one that shows up at the very last minute. So, anyway, the king got up early and he got everybody, all the rulers of the city, and they took them and they went up to the house of the Lord in verse 21. They brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he-goats. Now, I mentioned last week that 7, according to all I've heard about this, is a number of completion or perfection. And it's throughout the Bible. Maybe one of these days we'll have a study on numbers as they apply in God's Word. But we're not going to do that today or anytime soon, probably. But these are for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. Now we're going to, well, we probably won't come back to this, but I want you to remember that, what these offerings were for. And he commanded the priest, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So the Lord instructed him what to do, and so he told the priests what they were to do, and he had already told them that they had to sanctify themselves, they had to purify themselves, be clean, not just clean with soap and water clean, they had to be purified spiritually too. And anyway, he told the sons of Aaron, priests in his lineage, that they were to offer them on the altar of the Lord. In verse 22, "So they killed the bullocks, and their priests received the blood, and sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, when they had killed the rams, they sprinkled the blood on the altar. They killed also the lambs, and they sprinkled the blood upon the altar." So, they're doing things in order, just like they should do. They're offering these up on the altar, sprinkling the blood on the altar, and doing what they were supposed to do, what they had been supposed to do all along, and had been doing it for a good while. I don't know. I don't really recall. I think Ahaz was the one that shut up the doors to the temple. I know that. But I don't know how much they had been offerings to the Lord before that. But anyway, in verse 23, "And they brought forth the he-goats for the sin offering before the king and the congregation, and they laid their hands upon them." Now this is different, isn't it? They didn't just offer them, they laid their hands on them. Now, there are some that take this, well, there were different offerings. And this is not the one that some people think it is. They think that this offering was the Day of Atonement, and this is not it. This is not what this is about. This is about the purification that is still going on. Remember, Hezekiah told him to sanctify themselves. And he is into the temple there. And you remember right up here in verse 21, they gave it for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. So this is still the purification process. It's still going on. Now, I'm not exactly sure why, but anyway, we'll go into verse 23 and I'll explain what I've got out of this. And they brought forth the he-goats for the sin offering before the king and the congregation, and they laid their hands upon them. Now, on the Day of Atonement, it was two he-goats and a bullock. And the priest was to offer the bullock for his own sins before he could go into the Holy of Holies. And then he was to take the, tell you what, let's turn to Leviticus 16. Leviticus 16, verse 3, and I'm mostly just going to be reading this. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering, and he shall put on the holy linen coat. Now, anybody, again, I keep harping on this. Anybody that thinks, you know, however you feel like serving the Lord, as long as your heart's right, it's okay. And it's not. God is specific about how he wants to be worshiped. We are to follow the instructions to do things exactly the way we're supposed to do. Let's back up a couple of verses here. Chapter 16. Verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Now this is what happens back then, when you didn't worship properly. These two fellows, Aaron's sons, they went in and they didn't do things properly. They didn't use the fire on the altar. They brought strange fire in. They brought it in with them instead of using the fire on the altar to give the burnt offering. And the Lord killed them. So, if you think it's all right to worship the Lord any way you want to, you're wrong. And you can't worship the Lord out on the creek bank just as good as you can in God's house, because the Bible says, to him be glory in the churches. So here is where you need to be. Anyway, back in we're going to skip a few here. Now we're going to go ahead and read them all. This shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitres shall he be attired, that these are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water and so put them on. In other words, he's got to be clean. He's got to be spotless before he puts these garments on, these holy garments. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer this his bullock for the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. In other words, he has to be purified first. He can't go in to give the offering into the holy place until he is purified. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Okay, now this is not outside. This is right at the door there where people can see they're not in. But and we'll get to that here just in a second. Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and one and the other lot for the scapegoat. Now, this, a lot of people wonder about this. You know, why, you know, the Lord knows everything. He knows what's going to come up. Yeah, he knows. He chooses this way. He does things the way he wants to. But he doesn't answer to us. We answer to him. We need to understand that. And this is the way he said to do it. You cast lots on one goat, was for the Lord, and one lot was the scapegoat. And verse 9, and Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. Okay, the one that the Lord's lot falls on is offered for a sin offering, but the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. So, God is particular about these things. And he's still particular today. God doesn't change. Now, we don't do these offerings. And one thing I'm not sure of, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Anyway, okay, but we'll jump on over to verse 20. And we had made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. He shall bring the live goat, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And we're going to stop there with that. So this is the Day of Atonement. This is the that time when once a year the Aaron was to go in to the Holy of Holies. This part here at 2 Chronicles 29, this is not that time. Anyway, there's no scapegoat here, you notice. And okay, in verse 24, and the priests killed them. This is the he-goats, the one that they had laid their hands on. And they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make an atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. Now we're going to spend a little bit of time here. The priests killed them and they made reconciliation. Now, this isn't a complete reconciliation, of course. You know, there's the blood of bulls and goats and things like that. It can never take away sin. It's a picture. Now, I don't know. I'm sure that figuratively, the goats are a picture of Christ, that they took away the sin. However, I don't understand, nowhere in the Bible is Christ, referred to as a goat. He's referred to as a lamb. He's referred to as a lion. Not sure about others, but nowhere is he referred to as a goat. But anyway, I think this is a figurative thing. These goats were to be perfect goats, too. These weren't to be the runts or the run-of-the-mill goats or anything like that. But anyway, the priest killed them, made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make an atonement. Now, okay, here it is, the atonement, right? So this is the offering for the atonement. No, it says to make an atonement, not the atonement. This is a thing to bring the people together with the Lord, but this is not that special atonement that's done once a year. And this is, well, first off, it's the wrong time of the year. And we won't go back into that because you remember he started fixing up the temple on the first month, the first day of the first year of his reign. So anyway, it wasn't the right month. He got it all fixed up, but this would be later. This is another offering. This is continue the sanctification of the people. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. Now, you remember Israel, meaning Samaria, was gone. They'd been taken away into captivity. I think this was made for all Israel. That's what it says. Wherever they were at. Verse 25, and he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with psalteries, and with harps, according to the commandment of David, and of Gad, the king's seer, and Nathan, the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. They did everything like they were supposed to do. They were doing it right. Now, we know of churches, or, well, I'll call them organizations, that call themselves Baptists, and they don't teach what the Bible says. These people here, they believed what the Lord said. They were following his instructions. We need to follow God's instructions. We have a book that tells us how to do everything. Verse 26, and the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets, and Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. It kept on going. Now, we have a song service, rather brief, usually two songs, sometimes only one, very rarely three. We might have to adjust that because I know the song leader, and he's a pretty good singer. But anyway, they were doing things the way they were ordained. David told them how to do it. The Lord told David. So things were done as they were supposed to be done. And they did it until the burnt offering was finished. Now, I know a lot of times when you're out driving around and there's nobody to talk to, maybe you're the only one in the car or something like that, and there's a hymn that starts in your brain. Hey, go ahead. That's great. Anytime you can sing a song of praise to God, it's wonderful. And he is not slack to reward his children. Anyway, verse 29, when they had made an end of offering, The king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshiped. Now, I would have thought, you know, they had been worshiping, right? Apparently not. Apparently they didn't consider it that, because after this was all over, then they bowed themselves and worshiped. They humbled themselves. And we're talking about from the king on down, every one of them. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David. Now, this is probably from one of the Psalms. I don't know which one. But anyway, and of Asaph the seer, and they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped. Again, they bowed their heads and worshiped. Now, I know that you don't have to pray with your face to the ground, but I think sometimes it's good to do that. To completely just get down on the floor with your face in the carpet or whatever, and talk with the Lord. Remember who you're talking with, too. So, what does Hezekiah say then? Verse 31, then Hezekiah answered and said, now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Okay, now you've consecrated. Now you're getting started. All this is just the beginning. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart burned offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks, and 100 rams, and 200 lambs, and these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. And the consecrated things were 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep, but the priests were too few. This is how much they offered. The priests were too few. There wasn't near enough of them to handle all these offerings that were being brought in. Now you notice this is after they had offered up the 7777. And it's a lot more, isn't it? How many times do we do just what the Lord requires? Just barely enough. We need to be willing to give everything. Everything we have is His anyway. But the priests were too few, so that they could not play all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren, the Levites, did help them till the work was ended, until the other priests had sanctified themselves. Okay, there were still other priests, but they hadn't completed the cleansing process. Again, soap and water, and spiritually. For the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. So, the priests were the, I don't know whether you would consider them the hierarchy or anything like that, but the Levites were more prepared than the priests were. Now, we don't have priests here. We have a pastor. He's not a priest. He'll tell you that. That I would hope that he's a spiritual man. I believe he is. He's never given me any indication that he's not. But we need to be spiritual too. Just the grunts, so to speak. We need to be spiritual just like the pastor is. Verse 35, and also the burnt offerings were in abundance, with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for even burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. Everything was done decently and in order, just like Scripture says. That's the way you're to do things. And Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people that God had prepared the people for the thing was done suddenly. This was done quickly. Now, we got 8 people here this morning. And we could do whatever the Lord tells us to do, you know, because He'll make us able to. Many of the things that we have done in the past, you would think, well, you know, a little church like ours, you can't do things like that. God doesn't use numbers. He uses His people. However many it takes. And anyway, we need to be ready and willing to go and do whatever the Lord would have us to do. Right now, our pastor and his wife are wanting to go up to Canada to encourage and comfort our members up there and maybe do a little bit of visit and some family members, a little bit. And it's not possible. Hopefully the Lord does that soon, because I have a feeling when they go up there to comfort those folks up there that there's going to be some comfort headed the other direction too. So anyway, and it was done suddenly. It was done quickly. It didn't take a long time. Now it took, 16 days to clean out the temple and around it. But after that, all this was done. All the sacrifices, everything was brought together, and it was done, first of all, decently and in order, and secondly, it was done suddenly. It was done quickly. The people were anxious. You know, we need to be anxious to serve the Lord. We need to be ready and willing. Anyway, I kind of left out a few things. I'm not going to go back. Leviticus chapter 3 would be a good read on peace offering. It's another word for that would have been sanctification offering. So anyway, everybody stay tuned. Pastor's going to have a great message just in a moment.